The idea that I wanted to speak out was the machlokes rishonim as to whether or not tefillah is d'oraisa and d'rabbanan. A couple of basic halachos, and really what that might mean to us from a hashkafa perspective in terms of how we can view tefillah. So for starters, we have a gemara in Maseches Tainis that quotes a brisa right at the beginning of the Masechta, where they talk about the concept of avoda shebelev. Avoda shebelev, as we see, that the brisa says, la'ahavas Hashem Elokeichem ul'ovdo b'chol levavchem, right, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. Now, generally speaking, avoda connotes physical labor, right, and the lev connotes emotion. So how do we basically learn this phrase, la'ovdo b'chol levavchem, to physically serve Him with all of your heart, with all of your emotions. So ezo hi avoda shebelev, haveyom rezo tefillah. Right, so we would say that avodah shebelev refers to tefillah. So that's the source for the concept of tefillah min haTorah that the Rambam quotes. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvos, writes that there is in fact a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven. As we'll see, everyone agrees that there is a concept mid'oraisa to daven. There is an obligation of some sort, or at least a concept of some sort, min haTorah, that one should daven. The question is it a chiyuv? And if so, what is the nature of the chiyuv, and how often does that chiyuv take effect? So the Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah saseh l'spalel b'chol yom, source number 2, shenemar v'avaltem s'ashem lokeichem, right, mipi ha'shmua, lamdu she'avoda zu hitfilah. So he says, a mitzvah to daven every day, and from the Torah Sheba'al Peh, we learn that this is referring to the mitzvah of tefillah, as we saw, the avdo b'chol levavchem, ezu avoda shebelev, zu tefillah. So then the Rambam says, that's referring to a mitzvah to daven every single day, ve'ein minyan ha-tefilos min haTorah, the number of tefilos is not min haTorah, ve'ein mishneh ha-tefilah, min haTorah. And the text of this tefillah is not min haTorah. The aim of tefillah is man kavua min haTorah. And there's no specific time. Once a day, every day, say what you want. As we'll see, it's a little bit more limited than that. And you'll have an obligation to daven on a doraisa level. Ulefichah, therefore, says the Rambam, nashim v'avadim chayavim b'tefillah, lefishi mitzvah saseishe, lo azman grama. Women, and we don't really have avadim bizman hazeh, but avadim kananim are chayiv in all of the mitzvos that a woman is chayiv in. So nashim and avadim are chayiv to daven because it is not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Meaning it's once a day, every day, with no specific time. I'm going to start right this minute. And I'm going to record. So
we can upload them later, put them all together as a package. If you could please upload, if you could please record your shiur, that would be terrific. Thank you so much.
So he says, Ella chiyuv mitzvah zu kach hu sheyehe adam mischanin umispalel b'chol yom. So a person has to daven every day. Umagid shvachu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First you have to say the praises of Hashem. V'achar kach shoel tzurachav. Then you have to ask for your needs. Shu tzurach lehem. B'vakosho v'tchina, in such a way. And then, last but not least, you have to thank and praise Hashem for all of the goodness that one has in his life, based on your abilities. Tefillah is a personal thing based on one's abilities. Some people are going to be naturally better daveners. I imagine the poets among us will be far better at it than at articulating these things than the prose type individuals or the math type individuals. But nevertheless, it's a job of every individual to try to, at least once a day, every day, say some Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodaya. That's the Rambam's view of Tefillah min haTorah. Now, the Ramban is one of the main commentaries who writes Hasagos on the Rambam. Who's the number one individual who writes critical commentary on the Rambam? Who's the famous heckler that you find on the page of the Rambam? That would be the Ravid, right? So the Ravid is known as, he made a living commenting on the comments. So he has his Hasagos on the Rambam, he has Hasagos on the Baal HaMor. He has, you know, very, he actually has other Sfarim that he wrote as well. But he is the most critical of critics, you know, to comment against the Rambam. And second to the Ravid, perhaps, there were earlier, there was the Ramach, but perhaps second to the Ravid is the Ramban. Ramban doesn't usually comment on Mishneh Torah as much as he comments on the Sefer HaMitzvos. The reason for this is that the Rambam decided to take on the establishment when he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos. There had been a different book that counts the Taryag Mitzvos, which was called the Sefer Halachos Gedolos, which was written by the famous, we don't know, right? It was written by the famous Baal Halachos Gedolos, which means the author of the Sefer Halachos Gedolos. It was written in the period of the Gaonim, and it was the gold standard, or the only standard, aside from Rav Sadia Gaon's poem that he wrote that counted the Taryag Mitzvos, which Rabbi Rechum Fishel Perlet turned into a huge three-volume masterpiece. But the besides that, it was the main source for what are the Taryag Mitzvos, right? It's an interesting question in general. Why do we think that there are Taryag Mitzvos? It's like, you know, Rabbi Penner already mentioned the source why we know there's Taryag Mitzvos. I quoted him in the previous shiur as well. We have Uncle Moshe. So we know that's the real source for where we know Taryag Mitzvos. But besides from Uncle Moshe, what would be the source? So there are really very few sources in all of Chazal for why there are Taryag Mitzvos. The most famous, well, probably second most famous, but perhaps the most authoritative source would be the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos, which is Darish Rav Simloy. Rav Simloy has a drasha. There are Taryag Mitzvos, right? There's 365 Losa says, there's 248 Mitzvos say. And he has a gematria that plays it out. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah b'gematria is 611. And Anochi and Lo Yilecha were said not by Moshe Rabbeinu, so it's not Torah tziva lanu Moshe, but it's Anochi and Lo Yilecha were said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Ramban critiques this as well. The Ramban critiques, he says, first of all, Lo Yilecha is more than one mitzvah. So how can you say that it's 611? Whatever. Right? So that's the Gemara. So the Gemara has that, and maybe the more famous, maybe, but perhaps less authoritative source in Chazal is from a couple of weeks ago, and Rashi quotes it. Right? Im lovan harasha garti, the Taryag mitzvah shamarti. But again, we see a source in Chazal that there is a Taryag mitzvos. Many kashas on that as well, because we know he was not the kind of Taryag mitzvos while he was in the house of Lovan on many levels. But those are two sources where we see Chazal referring to the concept of Taryag, but everyone accepts that as universal. There's really no one who debates that particular point. And the Rambam just debated whether or not the Baha'i got the right 613, the right 248, the right 365. Now this is a very tricky business, right? Because you're dealing with very absolute numbers. So anything you do, if you say something he said is out, you're making a little bit more trouble for yourself because now you're going to have to find something else that's in, right? So that's not so easy. So the Rambam said, I have a solution. I'm going to make 14 rules, right? He calls the 14 Sharashim. Rambam very much liked the number 14. And he says that these are going to be the 14 rules. Take all the tens of thousands of halachos that are out there. And anything that works according to my 14 rules is a mitzvah, and anything that doesn't work according to my 14 rules is not a mitzvah. So if you were wondering if the Rambam was smart, this is one indicator, right? That you can come up with 14 rules, and out of those 14 rules, and you take all the tens of thousands of halachos and you plug them into the 14 rules, you get 365 los assays, 248 assays that equals 613 mitzvos, and everything else is out. That's, to say the least, a very impressive feat. Now, even if you say, well, we don't agree with this and that, okay, still impressive. So obviously, I don't claim that represents the greatness of the Rambam at all. But nevertheless, if you find it difficult, Rambam, it might be worth a few seconds of your time to see that he definitely knew what he was doing. So the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvah counts the mitzvah of tefillah as mitzvah hey, but the Ramban defends the Shita of the Bahag, who does not count it as one of the Taryag mitzvahs, and he says he has three sources. Based on our Gemara, we really only have two sources that seem to indicate the Rambam is incorrect. The source that we see in number three is we have a Mishnah that comes up a little bit later in Brachos, but the Gemara quotes it earlier on Chafal from the Aleph, where it says, Balkari Mahara Belibo. This is referring to what we call Takonas Ezra. Ezra Sofer made a number of Takonas. One of the Takonas that he made was that if a person has any kind of seminal emission, not Derech Isser, if he was intimate with his spouse or he had some kind of nocturnal emission, he has to first go to the mikvah before he's able to learn Torah, to daven, make brachos, etc. And that's why Arayom Hazeh, there's some people who go to the mikveh every single day. One of the reasons is they want to fulfill Takanas Ezra. So mostly it never really caught on with the masses. The Gemara discusses it. But in the Mishnah's time and the early Amoraim's time, it was assumed that they were keeping Takanas Ezra. So he says, what do you do if you haven't yet been to the mikveh? So you have to just think Kriya Shema in your mind. And then you don't make the brachos of Kriya Shema. And when you eat, you only make a bracha achrona, you bench, but you do not make a bracha rishona. Again, what's the common denominator that the rishonim understand over here? That kriya shema is doraisa, benching is doraisa, right? Whereas bracha rishona is only midrabanan. Bracha achrona, right? Bracha achrona, we're talking about benching over here, is doraisa. So in the Ramban's text, there was also a statement that says, and you don't daven. It says you don't daven. If you look in the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he writes, he quotes the same exact line, but he says, and you don't daven based on that. So he says, obviously, based on this text that we don't have, but that tefillah is only made the Rabbanan. Now there's a better raya anyway. Going further, Rabbi Elazar says, Safek kora kriyashma, safek lo kora, chozer v'kora kriyashma. If you have a safek, whether you said kriyashma or not, you have to repeat it. Safek is spalel, safek lo is spalel. Right, if you have a suffix, whether you daven, now very important rule, when you learn Maseches Brachos, the word tefillah means what? Shmona Esrei. Right, it doesn't mean everything that we call things Shachris, Mincha, and Marv. The Gemara calls Shachris, Mincha, Marv, the Shmona Esrei of Shachris, Shmona Esrei of Mincha, Shmona Esrei of Marv. What we say, I'm going to daven Shachris, really is comprised of many smaller units. We'll call it Birch HaShachar, Birch HaTorah, Korbanos, Pesukei Dezimra, Birch Kriya Shema, and then finally you get to Shachris. Right, so that's how the Gemara likes to categorize it. Colloquially, we just say, I'm going to daven Shachris. You know, so that's. But when the Gemara says, Hispala means Shmona Esrei, and he says, if you have a suffix, whether you daven, you do not go back and daven again. Then says Rabbi Yochanan, Ulevai shi Hispala Adam Kolayom. Halavai, I wish a person would be able to daven the entire day. It's interesting how that comment fits in with the other comment, but Lamaisa, Rabbi Elazar says, if you have a suffix, whether or not you davened, you do not go back and daven. So says the Ramban, black on white. What's the difference between Kriya Shema and Tefillah? Kriya Shema is Doraisa, and Tefillah is Derabanan. So how can you argue with that? And he goes further and he says there's a Mishnah and a Gemara and Shabbos which plays this out as well. Right? So the Gemara and Shabbos is discussing things not to do on Erev Shabbos. Right? You don't want to get stuck. Right? You don't want to be stuck in traffic on the bridge. You know, as Shabbos is about to start. So in those days, they didn't have so many bridges that they traveled on, but they had other things that they did that took a lot of time. I have no idea why, but they did. Right? Lo yeshiv adam lefnei asapar samuch lemincha ad sheyisfal. You don't sit down in the barber shop, you know, until you daven mincha. The Gemara first told me what not do before Shabbos. Then they got off on what you should not do in general before time for davening. Right? And a haircut was an all-day affair back then. I don't know why. I think it involved bloodletting as well. I'm not even joking. I think there was a barber, and they say the barber poles may represent the old bloodletting days. Where I don't know this crowd as well in terms of who's a doctor and who's not. But I had a few doctors at the other one, so I recommended that they probably should get involved in the bloodletting business. It seemed to have cured every disease known to man back in Talmudic times. So or not, as the case may be. But nevertheless, you didn't sit down. You didn't sit down in front of the barber, you know, until you daven mincha. And then they would don't go to the bathhouse. Don't go to a tannery. Don't sit down to a big meal. And if you started, you don't have to stop. Right? But then it says mafsikin lekriyashma ve'ein mafsikin letfila. You stop for Kriya Shema, you don't stop for Tefillah. This is a mistake. I meant to put the Gemara on there. This is just a repeat of the Mishnah. The Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph quotes, you know, in commenting on the Mishnah, the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph quotes that they were talking about what does it mean don't stop for tefillah, but yes, stop for Kriya Shema. That was talking about, Rabbi Yochanan makes this comment. He says, I was talking about people who were learning Torah day and night. They never stopped learning Torah for a second. And therefore, they were obligated to stop their learning so they could say Kriya Shema. They were not obligated to stop their learning so they could daven Shmone Esrei. And then Rabbi Yochanan comes in there and says, nah, that was only talking about big masmidim. You know, that wasn't talking about us, like Rabbi Yochanan, the big batlin. You know, so it wasn't talking about, he says, that was talking about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and that chevra, where the imamish never stopped for 1 second. He says, we stop learning all the time. Right, we saw a similar Gemara in Shir, where the Rush, he's talking about people who don't leave the Beis Medrash. They want to stay in the Beis Medrash and just daven b'chidus in the Beis Medrash, rather going to, in those days, they did not daven in a Beis Medrash. They only davened in a Beis HaKnesses, and they only learned in a Beis HaMedrash. I have no idea why. But that's what they did. So the Rush says, he gives three reasons why you should stop learning in the Beis Medrash and go to daven with the minyan and shul. One of the reasons is, he says, I don't think you're as big a masmid as you think you are. He says, pashtus is you find some other time over the course of the day to waste. So he says, okay, so during that wasted time, you'll make up the nebuch time that you had to spend schlepping to the shul for minyan, and then you'll learn during that time. So he wasn't so impressed with that taina. But that's really what the Gemara says on this Mishnah, that those who were learning constantly, 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 they would stop their learning only to say Kriya Shema. They wouldn't stop their learning to daven. And that's the Ramban's other raya. The Ramban says two rayas. He has three again, but one of them we don't have. The Ramban is, those two rayas of the Ramban are, number one, that the Gemara says if you have a suffix whether you daven, you don't repeat it. Number two, if you are learning constantly, you have to stop to say Kriya Shema, you don't have to stop to daven. Those are the two biggest rayas. Based on that, the Ramban wants to say absolutely clear to him that tefillah is midirabon. Now, yeah, you want to say something? Or?
Is Kriya Shema itself a tefillah?
Ah, so that's a good question. That's an interesting idea. He's assuming Kriya Shema is a pure Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. We call it, again, colloquially, we consider it part of davening, but he doesn't consider it what the Gemara would call tefillah with a capital Tav. You know, that's not considered tefillah according to his view, and that seems to be the theme of the Gemara as well. So these rayas, just for the record, are not so difficult to answer up. Many, many Svarim have answered these rayas against the Rambam different ways. I'm not that interested in getting involved in answering them. I just wanted to show you that these are the main two opinions in the Rishonim, whether tefillah is d'oraisa or tefillah is midirabbanan. And the Ramban basically says that he thinks that the Rambam's idea that tefillah is midiraisa once a day, every day, is not so. We find throughout Tanakh, we find by the Avos, we find by Chana, most famously perhaps, we find by many, many places in Tanakh that people davened, they spoke to Hashem, they begged Hashem, they pleaded with Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? They have all these famous characters in Tanakh who are constantly crying out to Hashem.
So the kasha
is, isn't there a deraisa tefillah? What's going on over here? No, definitely doesn't prove there's a chiyuv, exactly. But the Ramban he won't possibly want to negate the concept of tefillah min haTorah. He just wants to say, like you said, there's no chiyuv to daven min haTorah. It's important to keep that in mind. Say, like, you know, I don't want anybody to think that in the Ramban's view, the rabbis invented tefillah, right? So he says they invented, according to this, the chiyuv to daven once a day, every day. And says the Ramban, an amazing lashon. This is—it's a much longer hasaga. Kedarko Bakodesh. He very much likes to write, and so the Ramban says, "Elavale kolin yana tefillah inu chova klau." It's not an obligation. Rather, he mimidos chesed habori yisbarach aleinu. It's a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. Sheshomeya ve'oneh b'chol koreinu elav, that he constantly listens and he answers when we call out to him. Like Rabbi Penner referred to it as that you get mic time with the Rabbono Shalom. You get time to speak, to make your requests heard, to lay things out, to get things off your chest, maybe to take a little bit, like we said, you want to take the things that are in the Shmon Esrei and sort of, you know, do a gut check to see whether or not we have our priorities straight. And in addition to get what's going on in our lives off our chests and talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, this is what I'm doing. This is a chesed. This is not an obligation. You don't want to avail yourself of this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you? Hashem's not going to force you to do it, but it's there for you. You have the opportunity to daven at any given moment when you want, and Hashem is there for you to, and He's there to hear. Now, the Ramban at the end of the Hasaga does mention this idea of perhaps there is a chi of Doraisa to daven in an ace tsar. It's not super clear in the Ramban, but he does say something along these lines. Vimulayya midrashim netvila ikram and atara. If there is an obligation in Chazal to daven midrashim, nimna also b'minyana shel haram, and counted in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, he mitzvah la'eis ha-tsaros. It's a mitzvah in times of great difficulty. Shenamin shu yizbarach v'yisala shomei ha-tfilah v'hu ha-matzal men ha-tsaros b'tfilu z'aka. So it gives us that opportunity to cry out to him when things are very hard for us. So there is this idea that the Ramban says maybe there is a chi of d'oraisa to daven, the chi of d'oraisa to daven an eis tsar. It's even a little bit clearer in a different Rishon. One of the Balei HaTosfos wrote something called the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, and another one of the Balei HaTosfos had commentary, not Hasagos, but more like footnotes on the Sefer Mitzvos Katan. That would be Rabbeinu Peretz. We have actual entire Tosfos from Rabbeinu Peretz, but one of the more important Balei HaTosfos has this comment of Omer Rabbeinu Peretz, right? We have this idea that Tefillah is in our Torah, and he goes so far as to say that it says, Lefi ha'eis be'eis tzara shelo tavo o sheyotzienu ha'makom mehatzara. So here's the interesting lashon that he uses. There is a din to daven in an eis tzara that it should not happen, or that he should save us from it. So some, I believe I heard this name Rav Soloveitchik and others that he wanted to say that maybe the Ramban and the Rambam are not so far apart in the sense that the Ramban holds that there is a chiyuv to daven in the sense that when there's an eis tzara, when a person is faced in a time of great difficulty, he'll cry out to Hashem, he'll have an obligation to do so. The Rambam is just saying, not only is there a chiyuv to cry out in an eis tzara, a time where things have already become difficult, but once a day, every day, we want to have a situation that the tzaros don't come upon us. The tzaros don't come upon us. And this is something which I just wanted to stress for 1 minute, which is I don't claim to know what's going on in anybody's life. And I think if we would all look to our right and to our left, we have this syndrome. Certainly the kids among us have a syndrome that we think that everyone's life is a lot easier than our life. And it's everyone has what they have. And Baruch Hashem, I think all of us have many good things in our lives, and all of us have difficulties in our lives. And there is an eis tzara in everybody's life. And I actually asked my guys they should, on a test that they should write down for extra credit, what would make you daven better than you are currently davening? What would get you to daven better? Right? Meaning, what would Hashem have to do to you that would make you daven better? And, you know, it's a scary question that we don't want to have to ask ourselves. Right? That a lot of times, I've seen it over the years, here and elsewhere, but specifically here, I remember a number of years ago, so I don't think anybody will know who I'm talking about, but a number of years ago, one of the boys in yeshiva got very sick, and I can tell you that his closest friends, and he did have very, very close friends, and it was a very special thing how close they actually were, and they were absolutely, I could say with confidence, the worst daveners in the yeshiva. The worst daveners in the yeshiva. From that day forward, perhaps Arayom Hazeh. I know for some of them it is Arayom Hazeh. But from that day forward, those guys were the best daveners in the yeshiva. The best daveners in the yeshiva. Bar none. Some of these guys, I mean, it got a little out of hand. They were davening so long and missing breakfast, missing shiur. Like it was crazy. But like all of a sudden, davening was the most important thing to them. You know, so one thing that we have to ask ourselves is, it's not just that we want to daven be'eis tzara, but be'kol tzara shelo tavo aleinu. We don't want those tzaras to come. So if we admit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we would daven beautifully and with all of our hearts and all of our might, if this terrible thing would happen to us, then I'm sorry, and please don't take this in any way, but you know, as a concept, not God forbid wishing anything bad upon anybody, but could you blame the Ribbono Shel Olam for bringing these things upon us? It makes us better. We try harder. We don't want these things. So we have to say to ourselves, not only are we going to daven be'eis tzara, but we're going to daven b'chol tzara shelo tavo aleinu. We want to daven now when things are great, so that we don't have to face those situations in the future. We want to show, no, save all your tzaras. We're good. We want only good things, and we're not going to be lulled to sleep by a false sense of security when things are easy. Rather, we're going to take that opinion to be take that opportunity, to be machazik ourselves and to really use that these opportunities in the good times to improve our tfilos so that the tzaros never happen. And perhaps that's one way to explain the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. But along the same lines, there's a lot of halacha stuff I spoke about last time. I'll save it for now. We're not going to deal with it. But just one last idea that I saw. There's an excellent sefer that came out a number of years ago by Rav Shimshon Pinkas called Sha'arim B'Tfila. I'm pretty sure it's in English now. It's a small sefer. It's very easy to go through. And I was zocha actually to hear from him a number of times while he was alive, and I very much enjoyed the sefer. One of the things he talks about, he says that people used to say about the Briska Rav that he used to constantly say psukim while he was talking to people. If you would bring something up, he would say you'd say something to him, and then he would talk, and then he would stop, and he'd say lishuascha kivisi Hashem, and then he would say like psukim of tefila while he was talking. And so he said a lot of people gave a lot of different explanations why he used to do that. So Rav Pinkas says, my explanation is that he was, after all, the Briska Rav. He was always very, very concerned about being yotze all the opinions. So obviously the Briskas are very, very in tune with the Shitas HaRambam, that you have to daven once a day, every day. But also they have the Shita of the Ramban, that you have to daven be'eis tzara. And when a person would come and unload their tzaras on him, and a person would come and try to talk to him, he would immediately feel an obligation to speak out to the Rabbanu Shalom. He would have to call out to Hashem in order to fulfill that obligation that he felt was upon him, because he felt himself constantly in need of Hashem's salvation. Felt himself constantly, in an eis tzara. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us, and although it's true and it's absolutely necessary that we have our chiyuv derabbanan of tefillah, right, three times a day, every day, and the continuation of the shir would be whether or not women are chayiv three times a day, every day, two times a day, no times a day. That's, you could talk to your local Orthodox rabbi, but l'maisa, we have to keep in mind that although there is a chiyuv derabbanan every day, three times a day, there's also a chiyuv d'oraisa that sometimes gets lost inside the chiyuv d'rabbanan. The chiyuv d'oraisa of shevach, bakash, and hodaya to Hashem, we have to remember sometimes we're so busy fulfilling the chiyuv d'rabbanan, which we must, but we forget to fulfill the chiyuv d'oraisa. We forget to truly praise Hashem. We forget to truly cry out to Him for those things that we need and to truly thank Him for those things that are going well and we want to continue to go well throughout our lives. And feeling that eis tzara on a regular basis, feeling the eis tzara, if God forbid we have to be in that scenario, knowing where we have to turn, but also feeling the eis tzara, shelo tavo aleinu, that we should have continued great things and nachas in every area of life, and fulfill tefillah in the best possible way, which is, mitoch simcha and good things in our lives. Have a good day.